report for the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission. Today is Monday, June 14th at 11:45 a.m. Before we start, I'm going to appoint secretary in the absence of Commissioner Maboub. And Commissioner DeBleek, will you accept that role today?
I can do that.
All right, thank you. All right, please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any changes to the agenda today?
Chair Mannern, I would like to add under General Manager Report three items, our generation run update that we had last week, the water band, and city administrator assistance.
Okay, any other changes? Hearing none, we'll go into the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes for May 24th, as well as bill payments in the amount of roughly $2.6 million. General Manager Heron, anything on the bill payments?
Chair Mannern, no, I do not have anything further to add. More than happy to field any questions.
Any questions from the commissioners? If not, I'd entertain a resolution for approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Commissioner Mannern?
Aye.
Weber?
I abstain.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you.
Can I ask why you abstained?
There are three items of refund going to myself.
Oh.
For a change in my account.
Okay. Page 12.
Got it.
All right, thank you. Next on the agenda, we have an update for our Labor Committee meeting minutes. We actually had two separate meetings, and Commissioner Weber, I will turn that over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you stated, we did meet Thursday, May 27th. We had four items to discuss, and we got through two of them before we tabled the last three. The first one was the strategic plan review. The draft was presented to the Labor Committee. After a lot of discussion, there was some modifications that were requested, and we are looking for an update again at another meeting. Some more to follow there. Item number two, the clothing option discussion. This was a item that was brought up in union negotiations, and also for somewhat of the office staff to be looked at as well. Again, there were several discussions. There was no recommendation given at this time, but there's going to be further information from staff to the Labor Committee on options that we can present to our team members and to the staff as well. So at that time, that meeting, after an hour and a half, adjourned at 1:31 p.m. So I'd submit as a motion the minutes for Labor Committee of Thursday, May 27th.
A motion, do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second on the minutes as presented for May 27th for Labor. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That carries. I'll let you continue.
We called another meeting for Thursday, June 3rd at 12 p.m. We started off with a miscellaneous addition, and then we talked about pay equity and market adjustments, and then a succession plan. The miscellaneous discussion started off with City Council Member Audrey Nelson attending our meeting and asked for assistance to the City Administrator from our General Manager, John Heron. So there was a lot of discussion. Ultimately, the Labor Committee offered to, let General Manager John Heron take over for city administrator interim position for up to 1 month. I believe that July 2nd was the day that we authorized that through. So that was voted on and carried, and John has more to add to that later on in the meeting. The pay equity and market adjustment piece was an adjustment in scale to three positions, and those were voted on and approved to adjust those three positions to accommodate the market adjustment. We went on to discuss the emergency session plan. There was talk of posting and filling for the director of operations position. And in regards to addressing the emergency succession plan, there was a lot of discussion again. There was no action taken to fill the director of operations position as we look at changing maybe the job title of that and the scope of the position that we're looking to readjust the structure of the office. So again, no action was taken, and it'll be readdressed at our next labor committee meeting. After that, we adjourned at 2:07 p.m. So I submit the June 3rd minutes of the labor committee for approval as a motion.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second for approval of the minutes from June 3rd. For the record, Commissioner Maboub was absent for both of those meetings, and so I filled in his seat there. Any discussion on the minutes? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. All right, next in line with that, Commissioner Weber, I'll have you introduce. We have a recommended change for the pay equity market adjustment for non-union exempt employees. Do you want to introduce that or turn that over to General Manager Hamm?
John, please. Thank you, Commissioner Weber. Chair Mattern, as Commissioner Weber stated, there was three positions that when we looked at markets needed to be adjusted. That was our discussion around number two, pay equity, to be in compliance with pay equity and market adjustments. And the Labor Committee is recommending, I believe, I don't want to speak for the Labor Committee, but the Labor Committee, I believe, would need to make a recommendation to adjust our pay scale to accommodate such market adjustments and to stay in compliance with pay equity.
Any questions on the recommendation?
Do we have a copy of how the motion reads or the resolution?
Well, resolution would have to be made, so somebody would have to offer that. But we do have a copy of what the adjustments would be in the labor packet. Is that June, the June 3rd packet?
Okay.
Actually, which was part of the May 27 packet. My apologies. So I'd entertain a resolution for approval of the recommended pay equity market adjustments for the non-union exempt employees.
So moved.
Second.
I have a resolution and a second for approval of the pay equity and market adjustments. Any discussion? All right, Ms. Mathias, and roll please.
Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye. That passes. Thank you. Thank you for those updates. All right, next up we have our monthly financial reports. Ms. Brecker.
Thank you. The first report is for electric. If you notice, residential and commercial or industrial revenues are up about $93,000 from prior year. Expenses are also up about $308,000. Overall retained earnings are down about $66,000. And if you recall from our March statements, we had that delayed payment of our WIPI contract that has now been included in the April report. So that would show up on that purchase power line, so that'll be a little higher than a normal month. That invoice was about $372,000, that's included there. Moving to water. After we factor in the 20% rate increase for 2021, residential and commercial industrial revenues are up about $16,000 from where we would expect them to be. Expenses are also up about $76,000, leaving retained earnings up about $131,000 from prior year. And if we look at all divisions as a whole, overall retained earnings are up about $65,000 from prior year. And on the graphs, again, you can see by month, 2021 compared to 2020, and then year to date. Any questions?
The reports are looking good, thank you.
If we move on to the investments, this report had a couple changes this month. We've added the cost basis where we had it available on our statements. Our month-end value for our investments was $40,230,567. One note for April was we did have our $2 million deposit at Heritage. Vote it for April.
It's looking good, and I think having those notes helps us keep track of where cash is flowing in and out as well, so that's mm-hmm. that's helpful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any questions on the investment report? All right. Thank you, Andrew. Next up is the cost of power report. Mr. Riddell.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Very quickly, with the cost of power graph, you can see that April is quite a bit higher than other months. Andrea had mentioned this due to the WIPI invoice coming a little bit later from February. And when we bring the April number and WIPI invoice to February where it should have been, we are sitting right at that 5 cents, 8 mil, 5 cents, 9 mil for the month of April.
Any questions? Thank you for that very much. All right, that covers financials. We'll move into item number 6, Department of Homeland Security pen test results. Mr. Sandgren.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. So from January 4th to the 15th of this last January, Department of Homeland Security finally performed their risk and vulnerability assessment, or pen test. And as with past pen test reports, I don't want to get too detailed here, just for saying something publicly that might tip anybody off if they happen to be listening. But again, if you guys are interested in that report, I can definitely share that with you. So again, I'm glad to announce that no critical findings were found that allowed Department of Homeland Security just to march right in, so to speak. So that was good. They performed the external test on our website and a couple other applications that we have. There were some medium vulnerabilities, which basically showed some system information or user information, and that's kind of on a web page that's out there by default, that if you don't turn it off, you can see it out there. But it's just little clues to give those guys to continue with their attack, or formulating their attack, I should say. So to remediate those, we just turn those pages off. As part of this, there was a phishing campaign that was done. We did have a couple users that clicked, but fortunately our systems caught it. So since that you would know results for them, we did an assumed breach where we allowed them into Jaren's computer. And first of all, I don't want you to think that just because we had to let them in means we're impenetrable. It's just how it happened this time. So we let them into Jaren's computer, and so that allowed them to move around and do their testing. And internally, they found easily crackable passwords, easily guessed credentials. Even one of our systems still had a default password set on an area that we really weren't even using, so it's kind of like, So they are thorough. So this allowed them to crack some passwords and then move on to other computers, users, and some databases. And these vulnerabilities were remediated by changing passwords or making them longer in some cases. And you'll see here I'm going to be implementing a longer password policy. Currently we have a decent one, but people can still work around that and make it not very secure. So Department of Homeland Security, they spent an entire week doing each of these tests, the external and the internal, whereas in the past vendors have only spent 2 or 3 days tops, and they also did scans overnight. So they really ran the gamut, so to speak, which was good. The only area that we really didn't test as much as we would like was the SCADA system. Jaren happened to be on that week, and I wasn't comfortable, and neither was Department of Homeland, to be scanning that in case something would have went down while he was gone. So so we had them run the gauntlet. So besides being free of charge, DHS was very friendly to work with. In fact, one of the lead guy got sick, and another guy stepped in, and we didn't lose a beat there. And so I would recommend them again. The only complaint was, as you know, the wait that we had to do with them, so it's kind of hard to schedule them on your time. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions? As far as getting them back on the schedule again, is that something that you're going to just throw out there and hope we get them the next couple of years?
Hopefully it wouldn't take 2 years this time, because COVID and all that stuff kind of came into play, as well as I think some voting issues during the election that pushed it back. So I will put it out there. It's just kind of the thing that we ran into this year, where we had just approved White Oak Security, and then, oh, we're ready for you now. So that's my only concern. And with White Oak too, Jaren and I just had a meeting with them last Wednesday for a kickoff meeting for the one that we pushed off for DHS. So we're continuing to move forward.
That sounds good. This experience, was this favorable compared to the other two that we've done in the past?
I think all of them have done well. Reporting has been good. I would say these guys were definitely more thorough. The other vendors usually just do it from 9 to 5, so to speak, and these guys ran our 24 hours a day, so
okay.
They were probably more thorough than the rest.
Very good. Thank you.
Right. We've had a lot in the news lately about spyware and spamware and ransomware and all this stuff. Are we taking all the precautions necessary to prevent any of that?
Well, we got systems in place, but the big thing to me always comes down to it could be one click away from some user. So that's where I think I need to get better at some monitoring stuff like that. But
So
like I say, we're good this time, but next time, maybe not, or in between, maybe not.
I guess it goes beyond my expertise.
Well, and like we said, it's kind of, hopefully we're getting the low-hanging fruit at least. I've always said, if they target us and want to get in, they'll get in, if they're breaking into all these other higher government agencies.
I think, Mike, to answer Commissioner DeBlake's question, we try to stay on top and keep the latest and greatest
software on our systems to prevent. But like Mike said, they won't get in. We do, Mike does a very nice job staying on top of both physical and cybersecurity and keeping our system as locked down, you know, to the degree that we can.
With the password policy change that's in the works, do you expect that soon?
Yes, we just implemented some new software. Actually, I'm implementing it now, which kind of works off the Active Directory user accounts. So I'd like to get that set up first before we do the change.
Sounds good. Any other questions?
Good. Well, just thanks, Mike, for what you do and keeping our system safe.
Keep on it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the update. All right, next on the agenda, we have recommendation for approval of two different bid awards. Mr. Smith.
Thanks, Chair Mattern. The first project is out at our South substation. We're replacing two 69 kV circuit breakers, and we're also upgrading the protection and control systems out there. The budget for that project is $800,000, including this construction contract at $150,000. To date, we've spent just under $500,000, and I would anticipate another additional $150,000 in commissioning and testing still to come. So we are looking good budget-wise on this one. On May 20th, we received or opened the bids for the construction work at the South substation. There were five responsive bids ranging in price from $150,000 to $430,000. The apparent low bidder was N&M Power out of Nebraska with a total price of $150,236.98. DGR is recommending that we award the contract to them. I would concur with their recommendation. And the bid tabulations are on the second page there. You'll notice two of them were adjusted. I think the way Excel automatically sums these values is if they put beyond the cent decimal into their spreadsheet, it doesn't round it correctly in the end. So for example, the Silver Fox pipeline adjustment was $19 and the Hooper Corporation adjustment was $3. So we're not talking about big changes there. But what DVR does is they look at the unit pricing and they multiply it by the required quantity, and then they use that for the total versus what their spreadsheets present for the total. So are there any questions on that one?
Well, there's a big difference between bids. It must mean that some don't want more work is what I would take it as.
Yeah, my expectation there is that those companies have a full schedule and they're paying their employees overtime to get the job done if they need to. But it is really surprising to see that spread. Other questions?
Doesn't look like it on that one.
Okay, would you like me to move to the next one then?
Yeah, let's get that one out of the way and then we can handle the resolutions.
Okay, the next one is for the steel at the Priam substation. The Priam project is budgeted at $1.2 million. To date, we've spent, if you include this $22,000 for steel, $289,000. We still have quite a bit more work to go on this one, control panels, construction, and commissioning, but we still look like we're on budget for what we've opened so far. The engineering estimate on this project was $34,000, so the bids came in underneath that. On May 27th, we opened the bids. There were three responsive bidders. The low bid was Galvanizers Inc. in the amount of $22,391.17. They actually provided the steel when the substation was built in 2019. So DGR recommends them, and I concur with their recommendation. On the second page, you see the bid tabulation again. And again, there's adjusted amounts, but like I said, it's oftentimes cents. I think one was $3 difference there, so not too concerning. The delivery is in line with our schedule. And I think that's all I had for notes on that. Any questions?
Doesn't look like it. Thank you for introducing those, Jim. With that, I'd be looking for a resolution for approval of the South Substation modifications and the contract awarded to N&M Power. That would be in the amount of roughly $150,000.
I'll enter that resolution. We accept the bid of M&M Power.
I'll second.
We have a resolution and a second to accept the South Substation bid in the amount of $150,000 and some change. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner DeBleek.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Weber.
Aye.
That passes. Thank you. Next is the resolution for the substation steel awarded to Galvanizers, Inc. Looking for a resolution for approval of that.
I'll make that resolution.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second to award the bid to Galvanizers, Inc. in the amount of $22,000 and some change. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Erickson.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Mattern.
Aye.
Weber.
Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
That passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have approval of a resolution for the capital project grant for the Northeast Water Treatment Plant. Mr. Herring.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. As we continue to work on funding for our water treatment plant project, this is a resolution requesting our state legislative delegation to consider our project for funding through their capital improvement project, or basically state bonding dollars, infrastructure bonding dollars. So, formality to be placed on their list.
Any questions?
You say this just puts us on the list for funding?
The asking to be put on the list.
And ask to be on the list?
Basically informing them that we have a project and we would like consideration to be given to the state assisting through the infrastructure bonding bill. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we're going to get there. It's like we're formally asking.
Okay. But the salt water or the salty discharge? Now, the last piece on here talks about salty discharge. Is that more city responsibility, or do they have to pass it a concurrent resolution as well?
Commissioner DeBleek, excellent question. We ask Tim Colby, H.R. Green, that question if we need to, and he said no. He said this would be fine. But you're absolutely correct for the commission. The salty discharge is actually on the wastewater side. Mm-hmm. However, the softer the water is that we provide the city, the less chlorides they have to treat at the wastewater system, as home softening is where the greatest share of the salty discharge of chlorides come from. So our well water over at our Northeast Water Treatment Plant is considerably softer, so that when we're looking at designing, we are going to be utilizing, at the completion of the plant, we'll be utilizing that plant for more water in the system. So therefore, slightly, there's not going to be a significant, but there will be a slight difference in the softness in our water. So one step towards helping the city at the wastewater treatment plant meet compliance of their chloride levels.
Does that go along with low salt use and water softeners and adjustments on the water softeners? And
that'd be correct, Commissioner DeBleek. Once that plant is up and running, you might have to do some public outreach to have, you know, their softeners, you know, if they're doing it themselves or if they have a company come in that monitors, that does maintenance on their softeners, to make sure that they're not over softening.
To be clear, since we're on that topic and there's been past discussion that we would potentially add softening at the treatment plant, that is not currently in the plans, correct?
That is not.
Okay.
That is coming. Estimate 2 years ago provided in conjunction with Donahue, the city's engineer, and Corolla, our engineer. We're looking at excess of $90 million for softening, and that is the ultimate remedy to the discharge limits at the plant.
So this is an incremental step by utilizing the natural softness of the water.
Right.
Further discussion on the proposed resolution? If not, I'd entertain a submission of the resolution.
So moved.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second to approve the capital project grant request for the Northeast Water Treatment Plant. Further discussion? All right, Ms. Mathiasen.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
That passes. Thank you. All right, next up we have our May 2021 wind turbine report. Mr. Marty.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. As you can see in the wind turbine report, not much to report. Pretty quiet. Turbine 3 had 99.8% availability. Turbine 4 was at 99%, with total output of 509,051. Moving to the next page, you can see that our year-to-date total, 3,034,568 kilowatt hours. So we're just getting into the summer stretch where we take a little bit of dip here, typically, as shown on the bar graph. But otherwise, the turbines are working great.
It's good news. Thank you. Any questions?
If this is a stupid question, too bad. Do you ever, like, track average speed, wind speed for the month?
I would assume that we have a... Is there a way to do that, Jaron?
Yeah, the system does record it. We don't look at it or report it, but it's there. You'd like to see that?
Commissioner Johnson, it's tied to the kWh output, which is what we track. Faster they're going around, the more output you get.
And obviously.
For reference, our turbines are 2,000 kWh. So if they're putting on max capacity, they'd be putting on 2,000 kilowatt hours per hour.
Per hour, okay.
That helps kind of put things in perspective on the report. Capacity factor, Jaron, Kevin, for Commissioner Johnson's reference, we run about 27-26% on that average year, somewhere in the vicinity.
That's right.
Yeah, so of the 2,000 they're putting out on an annual basis, roughly 25-27% of that amount of their full capacity.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Right now might be a good time just for the historical perspective. We're getting our total kWh production. Do you remember going way back to what the projections were? Was it something like 8.3 million was the annualized projections, I believe? Does that sound right, Kevin?
I'm going to have to defer that one probably to Jaron.
That sounds right. It was over 8.
Okay. And I think there had been one or maybe 2 years where we were right around that projected amount. That hopefully adds a little historical perspective for some of the newer commissioners.
Thank you.
All right, further questions, or are we good? Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Well, next up, we are looking to accept the resignation from Commissioner Magnuson, who's not here today, but he will be moving out of city limits and no longer eligible to serve on the commission as of the end of the month. So he'll have one more meeting with us, potentially. Hopefully everybody saw the email or the notice that came out, but we do have to accept his resignation officially. And I would offer that as a motion to accept the resignation for Commissioner Magnuson.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? We'll certainly miss him. We appreciate his service, and we'll offer him his additional gratitude, hopefully at the next meeting if he's here. So. All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries. All right, we are now to the general manager's report. Mr. Herring.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. I'll go to the added items first. So the first one is generation run. We're calling by MISO. I asked Kevin Marty to put a short report together, giving the commission an update and informing the commission that we were called on to run, and it was an extremely hot day. So very pleased with the outcome. So I'll turn it over to Kevin.
Thank you. So, as John mentioned, on Thursday, June 2nd, extremely hot weather caused the customer load to exceed MISO's forecast for that day. Planned generation resources could not meet the demand, so MISO declared a max generation event level 2, which required that all capacity registered generation run from 2 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So in response, MRES directed WOMA Utilities to run its 6 diesel generators during that time frame. Utility staff responded and ran the generators as requested. However, during that time, one of our units, number 3, which is at the Southwest sub, shut down shortly after reaching its generation at 2 megawatts and could not be restarted. So that unit was taken offline. We have Ziegler scheduled to diagnose and repair the unit this week. No other units experienced any difficulties at all, which was really nice to see, especially the temperature was hovering right around 100, 101 degrees that afternoon. So all generators were refueled the following morning and ready to go in case they need us again.
Do we have any suspicions as to what happened with Unit 3, overheating, oil?
No. It started up and ran just fine. They synced it in to the system, and as soon as it achieved its 2 megawatt, it electronically faulted out. It's giving a, it's a generic ECM fault. So we suspect, and Ziegler suspects, it's something to do with the main control computer that runs those units.
Computers?
Yes. Gotta love them.
Usually the problem.
Okay. Any other questions? Or?
Thank you, Kevin.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Kevin. Next, we've had added the water ban that we pushed out on Friday. I just wanted to make sure the commission is aware of it. Did you saw the email? But we're reaching plant capacity. That's why we issued it. We have a policy in place for that. I am pleased to inform the commission that between the little bit of rain we had on Friday and pushing out the watering ban, our capacity or output on Friday dropped by 1 million gallons. So kudos to the community for paying attention. So I'd like to thank the community for that. That leaves us a little bit of reserve in our capacity in the event we have fires or water main break, things of that nature. So appreciate that. As soon as the weather, the temperatures back off, and hopefully we get a little bit of rain, it sounds like next week is a good chance we'll be lifting the ban off as soon as we can again. So, but in the meantime, the ban is there. So thank you to the community for following through and cutting back on the water consumption.
Well, do you know when the last time the city of WOMA had put a ban on? Because my husband's lived here all his life, and he says he only remembers it one other time.
That's probably correct. That's been a long time. I know we talked about that a little bit, but we're looking at it, and we're watching the consumption crawl day over day the last 3-4 days, and the heat was projected to continue, and we're at a plant capacity, and then we had that fire that night, and that one night just leading up to it, and we said we can't risk, we can't gamble, so that's why we have.
How was the call load? Did you get a lot of calls from customers?
Speaking with Chris Rydell this morning, manages our community marketing or utility marketing. Really didn't receive any calls. There was a fair amount of Facebook posts, most of them positive. We had a couple negatives. I think he told me 3 this morning, and we're going to reach out to those individuals and have a conversation with them and explain to them why we needed to do that. So.
Good. Thank you.
So basically, we had a lot of community support. I look at Facebook posts and numbers, and when we're looking at 3 of them that had questions or less than positive comments, I would say it was a success, our request. So again, thank you to the community.
Nice. Thank you.
John, you mentioned fire flow. Do we have enough reserve right now to address any major fire flow?
Commissioner DeBlee, good question. Yes, we do. Fire flow is not an issue except for, you know, when we got times like this.
Fire, maybe I should have said fire capacity or.
Yeah. No, we have plenty there. Okay. So that's why we issued that ban, because of all the water and the heat that was drawing a bit too much on our capacity needs to accommodate scenarios of such. So.
Mm-hmm.
Good question. All right. Then the last one, as Commissioner Weber noted in our Labor Committee meeting, the second meeting, the council had asked if we would assist. Labor Committee set a deadline for that of July 2nd. The way things are coming together for the city, they want to interview an additional applicant, so that's going to push them out an extra week. So they asked if I could assist until July 12th, which is a Monday. So I said I believe the commission would support that. I would have it on the agenda here today. So hopefully they will be able to get things in place that they can either have an interim, a permanent interim city administrator or somebody on board by then. So when you watch the council minutes, if there's a resolution there to extend that contract out to the 12th, that would be fine. Other than that, Red Rock Tour coming up, Labor Committee meeting coming up, Planning Committee meeting coming up. Planning Committee meeting, we have a date on that one.
July 1st.
July 1st, that'll be coming up. Talk about our water treatment plant. We have the 90% completion, and we'd like to give the commission an update on that project and costs that are associated with that project. As I mentioned earlier, that project has increased by $4 million since our 30% design, all basically on materials that I mentioned earlier. So that would conclude my update. Unless there's questions.
Further questions?
What's the city's plan? Or think they'll come back again and extend it, or ask for an extension again, if this second interview doesn't work? And what is our position on that?
That's a very good question, Commissioner Johnson. Nobody really knows how that's going to turn out. They will have a special council meeting on June 22nd, I believe it is. Is that a Tuesday? June 22nd, that's, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. That meeting isn't set. It'll be set at the next council meeting, but that is tentatively the plan. So let me rephrase that. They're not having, but they're planning to set that day. And they're hoping then at that point in time to decide how they're going to proceed forward at that meeting. And one of the options is to offer to an existing. Another option is to interview more. So we'll know more after.
We should add, as part of the discussions, the intent was that Mr. Heron would fill in for kind of a stopgap position, for approximately 1 month while the city was considering additional interim options. And so hopefully they're still pursuing that. That is our request, and I would remind them of that this is not a long-term solution. So even if they don't have a final position in place, hopefully they will have somebody else for the interim that can fill in. So we've got plenty to do here, and we need to make sure that our general manager is able to dedicate his time to the utilities as well. So thank you. Further questions? Anything else to come before the commission today?
Just a question on this Red Rock Hydro Tour. Just contact Jody if you want to go down, or
I think Ray, it's right through Beth. Right?
Yeah,
you want to
just let me know, we can take care of that.
Okay.
Beth is filing list of interested individuals.
Okay. Any other business? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We are now adjourned. Thank you.